You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Womenpreneur, Strategies for Success. How are you, my bold and fearless entrepreneurs? Summer has probably started for a lot of you, and for the ones that have kids at home, like me, it's time to get focused. Keep doing the good work. Keep up with whatever you guys are doing, your projects. If you need any motivation, let me know, and I will send you some good juju vibes, some maybe focus vibes. But I really want to share a very important tip, a productivity tip with you guys today. With my kids at home now, I have to be super focused. We now have a schedule, which really works out great for us. But this is where my number one productivity tip helps me every day. So I want you to ask yourself every day this one question. What is the one thing I should be doing that will have a big impact? Yes, you have to do all of your daily tasks, but what is that one thing that will take your business forward? What is that one thing that you need to just focus on today in spite of all the distractions or, you know, traveling or kids or cooking or whatever it is? What is the one thing that y'all need to focus on today that will have the biggest impact on your business, that will move your business forward? So think about that every day in the morning, or maybe the prior night when you sit down and make your to-do task list. Think about that one question and that'll help you focus. That's what I'm doing nowadays. Also, I do want to thank all of my listeners and my subscribers from the bottom of my heart. It means a lot to me that you guys have subscribed and you're listening to me. Really, it's mind-blowing to me. We are almost hitting 10,000 downloads, and I really want to thank you all a lot. Today, I am really excited to invite on Womenpreneur Podcast, Krista Morgan, the CEO of commercial crowdfunding platform for business lending, P2BI. The chairman of P2BI describes her as a natural entrepreneur and leader, and her innovative ideas, energy, commitment to transparency, and passion for helping small businesses grow are unparalleled, says the chairman. I really enjoyed talking to her. She has an air of naturalness about her, and that made me really want to keep going on and on and on with the conversation. Her journey from Montreal to the UK and now to leading one of the pioneering business lending crowdfunding platforms is very inspiring. Today, she's not only fundraising for her own growth, but also helps fundraise the businesses that use their platform. Very few women can really boast of these insights and experiences that she has. If you asked me and you said, okay, Smita, what is the one takeaway from this conversation that can change my life? I would say, listen to Krista talk about confidence, writing, and speaking. I think that will totally set you apart. And she tells us how she got into the habit of doing it every day. And that ties back to the main thing that everybody talks about is consistency, right? So be consistent in your speaking and in your writing and be confident. I think those are really the three key takeaways that can really help you in your life. And if you asked me, okay, Smita, one takeaway for business, I would say metrics. How Krista and her team used metrics to change the way they did business. Knowing your metrics, stick to it, and use it to grow your business. And she gives a really fine example of how they did it. Krista also hosts a podcast called Women Who Startup with her co-host, Lizelle Van Buren, and they host it from Colorado. So if you're in the startup space, go listen to their podcast. It's really fun. Also, if you love our podcast, Womenpreneur Strategies for Success, don't forget to share it with your friends and spread some love. I would totally appreciate it. And you will find all of the links and show notes on our website, womenpreneursuccess.com/Krista. And it'll also have the links to their podcast if you want to go hear it. All right, so let's get this show on the road with Krista Morgan. Hi, Krista. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thank you. A bit tired, though, actually.
I know. Where were you? You were out of the country.
Well, no. So I was just out of town. So we're based in Denver, but I've been... So I was out of the country. Yeah, in the Caribbean. God, that feels like ages ago. That was only last week. And then this week I've been in New York at a really big industry conference. So I just got back at like 10 p.m. last night, and I'm feeling a little jet lagged.
Oh, wow. First of all, I really want to take this opportunity and thank you so much. And I want to tell our audience, Krista and I talked, I think, 2 weeks ago, and she was so generous to give me, you know, her time. And she said, okay, let's do this interview. And we did the whole thing. And I completed it. I said, okay, great. Thank you. Bye-bye. And I put the phone down and I started going back and I said, oh my goodness, wait, I recorded this and after 16 seconds, it was blank. And I'm not kidding you, I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, I just, Krista Morgan came on my show and this is what I did. And I've heard so much about people losing their interviews and stuff from other podcasters, but this was the first time for me. So I literally freaked out. I ran out and I told my husband and I said, oh my God, what is going on? It was just a jinxed completely day. So I emailed Krista back. And I said, and I told her, I was really honest. And I said, listen, there was a technical fiasco. I don't know what happened. And it's okay if you don't want to come back. And I would totally understand, but I do want to let you know. And she was amazing. Krista, you were so generous and so nice to give me your time again. And this time I get more of your time. So I'm just really, really appreciative of everything that you've done for me.
Well, it is my pleasure. And as you know, I'm on a podcast, the Women Who Start Up podcast. And so I'm very familiar with technical issues that come up and, you know, it's just life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. So tell us about Lendit Conference. Is that where you were last week?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Lendit was amazing. So, my company is an online lender, and we are part of, it's sort of an offshoot of what they called the peer-to-peer lending industry, which really came up in like 2007. And now you have all of these hedge funds and investors on the one hand, and then tons of platforms on the other, and Lendit, like tons of platforms with all kinds of different loan products, from real estate to student loans to consumer loans to business loans. And they bring this, they have a huge conference. It was, Midtown in Manhattan, and there were 2,500 people, and it was just unbelievable. And I think really, you know, you spend so much time as an entrepreneur, we all pay attention to what other people are doing in our space. And it was nice to kind of see everyone is just real and normal, and they're not, you know, super geniuses that like I could never be like that. Like it's easy to feel, I think, insecure when you're not, you know, you haven't met them. But yeah, like we met people that have done their IPOs and like, they're just regular people.
That's right. And I have to tell you, I really enjoyed your live tweets. I was a little bit less on Twitter this past week, so I didn't really get to send it out as much as I would like to, but I really did. I felt like I learned a lot even just through your tweets, and I haven't heard or seen anything or read anything yet. So, so thank you for that. Thank you for keeping us informed. And I do want to circle back a little bit, Krista. I want to talk about you first.
Okay.
Tell us about you. Tell us how you got started. Tell us about your journey. You know, we want to know about you.
Well, I think it still amazes me that people would want to know. But I'm Canadian originally, so I grew up in Montreal and went to university there. I did a degree in economics. And then my other half decided to do his master's in economics in London. And so we moved over there. We were supposed to go for 1 year. It turned out to be six. I worked in advertising and digital marketing. And I really came across this peer-to-peer lending space, which actually was a lot bigger in the UK because they didn't have the same SEC regulations to deal with. And I just thought it was really cool that people could lend to people. You take the banks out, lenders get a better rate of return, and then borrowers get a better personal loan rate. And so I followed it. And then that evolved into crowdfunding, and I just paid attention to the whole industry. Mm-hmm. And in 2011, my dad, who's based in Colorado, he was working at a business like alternative financing company. And we just got to talking and it was really serendipitous. Like all of a sudden there was this light bulb and we were like, hey, we've got a really good. I thought I would be an entrepreneur. I really didn't. That just wasn't something I aspired to. I was on career track. I had a good job. I got paid every month. It was wonderful. But then this thing called to me and I packed up my stuff and moved to Denver, and we've been kind of going here for about 3.5 years. It's really been in the past year that we've had a ton of traction. So it was like 2 years of a lot of slogging.
Right. So that's interesting. So you were so interested in peer to peer, which I think is really game changing. It's changing a lot of ways people are doing business or even building traction for their products. So P2B, which you started, P2BI, is peer-to-peer? Because we're used to P2P. P2B is peer-to-business.
Exactly. So we're basically saying the industry started with consumer loans. So like you as a person just want to take out a debt consolidation loan to maybe get a better rate and refinance all your credit cards. And this peer-to-business space is what we're saying. There are now like a whole bunch of different asset classes coming up, and we've chosen the receivables, and it's like we're doing like $1 million commercial loans, and we say it's crowdfunded. Right now it's crowdfunded only with accredited investors. But the plan is that eventually we do the legal paperwork to allow anyone to invest. And then you also have a lot of institutional investors, like a lot of hedge funds are in this space. So it's pretty diverse and it's pretty interesting. And in my mind, what I love about it is that, crowdfunding, and I think we talked about this last time, but like crowdfunding is about risk diversification, right? You, by taking a little bit of money from a lot of people, you can do something a little bit riskier, a little bit different than you could if it was just one person putting up all the money. And I love the idea that I can give a business a $3 million loan and then syndicate that loan out $50,000 at a time. And I can think about risk differently. I can price risk differently. And I just think it's a new, it's a new world of finance that's coming up. I have to be honest with you, I am really proud to be in the space pretty early, as one of the pioneers.
You are. That's wonderful. So let's talk about a business owner and how can they come to P2B and tell me, maybe we can walk through the process of a business owner wanting to get some money for their receive.
So we basically the process is, we see companies that have about at least $500,000 in revenue. So we work with a lot of natural foods companies. So if you imagine you have this business owner and she has a really cool, she's doing like a new kind of chocolate, artisan chocolates, and she starts selling in a couple of little stores, and then she gets her first demo in Whole Foods and maybe goes into like 15 Whole Foods and starts selling. And then all of a sudden, Whole Foods says, great, we love this. We're going to roll you out into 50 stores and 100 stores. And then you get into Safeway. And next thing you know, you're starting to sell $500,000, $1 million worth of product. And you can finance that growth using debt and not just taking equity, which is what so many of us need to do in those early stages, you know. But I genuinely believe that as women, we, especially women, we give up too much of our companies, and we should look for other ways to finance our business wherever possible. So that person would come to us and they would just fill out an application. They would talk to someone on our team. We'd say, we first establish if it's a good fit, right? And on both sides, you know, do we think we can do this at a fair price? Does it make sense for them and their business? And then if that all goes, within about 2 weeks, there's like a diligence period where you got to be organized and have all your paperwork. But then we collect it all, and then we sign a contract, and then we start getting funding. And our value proposition is really that we do what's called revolving loans. So the amount of the loan that you have can go up or down, and you only pay for what you're using, and it can grow with you as you grow. And we're building some really cool technology. You know, I just hired the most awesome CTO, and we're building some really cool technology to make the whole process a lot easier than what you see in other lenders.
Very interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about their using, so you're having a growth and using your, leveraging your debt versus your equity. Mm-hmm. Tell me maybe what are some of the advantages, especially like you said, a woman entrepreneur, we tend to give away more because we're thinking we need to work hard and we need to do this first and then, you know, show our stuff. So what do you think are the advantages of doing that versus giving away your equity?
I mean, look, everyone thinks differently about it. In my opinion, raising equity is hard, right? It's not exactly mm-hmm. easy. Even though you're willing, I sometimes find it amazing that here is this woman willing to give up a portion of the company that she has, like, you know, sacrificed so much to build.
Right.
And yet investors are going to be, you know, oh, we don't like this. What if this goes wrong? You know, there's a lot mm-hmm. of, almost negativity that comes out during the equity raising process. And I think at least with debt, you know, sure, you're paying for debt, but you're paying for equity too, right? Like that mm-hmm. portion of your company you give up today at a certain price, if you do well, that's going to be worth a lot more tomorrow. So there's still a cost associated with that. And I think we see equity incorrectly as costless. Right? As in, like, we're not paying an interest rate for the money and we don't have to pay it back, but that comes with a big price. And so in our model, I think wherever possible, if you can leverage some debt, so leverage your assets, you know, maybe you own a building, maybe you've got receivables, maybe you've just got inventory, or maybe all you have is an order. All of those things can be financed, you know, and you might pay a lot for the financing, but it's going to be less than what you'll pay for equity every time. Every time it will be less. And it teaches you to run your business. I actually was at one of our customers in Brooklyn. Her name is actually Krista. She is the only other CEO I've ever met named Krista. She runs this ice cream, this little, you know, it's like kind of the next Ben and Jerry's. And, mm-hmm. and she said to me, you know, Krista, I really restricted my growth for a long time because I wasn't taking out debt. You know, I was like, I was trying to do everything on my own. And all of a sudden I, like, you know, she became our customer. She's got orders coming and she's like, now I can focus on running the business. And I hired people, you know, my cash flow smoothed out. I hired people and now I can keep growing. I mean, that's what you want, right?
Right. Absolutely. I think that's a great point. I think it's so important that we sometimes don't see far out, we don't see in the future, and we're thinking, okay, what do I do right now to get this done? I think that's a very interesting take on leveraging your debt, where you are probably, you have more control over where your company is going mm-hmm. versus somebody else telling you, I don't think that's the right way to do it. But let's talk about a little bit of, you've seen so many women and you work with so many women. What are some of the biggest challenges that you see for women entrepreneurs in the fundraising space? And doesn't necessarily have to be just venture capital or angel investing. It could be any space, like any fundraising space.
I think at the end of the day, a lot of what all, not all women, but a lot of women, myself included, struggle with is just the confidence. Any kind of fundraising, whether it's equity, whether it's debt, whether it's whatever it is, you are asking someone to take a chance on you. You're standing in front of a person and you're saying, hey, I am doing something great here and I would like this capital because of, you know, X reason. And I am going to put your, like, I am going to give you the return you want on your money. And it's hard because we don't know. And I think women are fundamentally, a lot of us are very honest and we want to be upfront and we'll say, oh, well, you know, I think I can do this or,
right.
You know, you're always hedging and saying, well, maybe. And I know that the more fundraising I do, the more confident I am. You know, I did 6 venture capital meetings on Wednesday. And by the end of it, you know, my confidence just goes up during the day because people don't laugh at me. You know, I say, listen, I'm going to build a $1 billion company. And they go, cool, great. Yeah. they don't say, oh, you can't do it. They don't,
but, right.
You know, and that gives me confidence every time I say something with confidence and then I get a good reaction and then that builds on it. And I think you just got to kick off that cycle of confidence. It's just that first time where you're faking it. And then it starts to, you know, it just starts to build in you. And I'm actually, oh, sorry. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. No, I was wondering, you know, why do you think that, women are naturally hesitant to ask for help? Is that why you think we are? Because I've talked to so many people and I've done so many interviews now. And pretty much that's the same kind of mindset that everybody talks about is the confidence level. And I want to know, you know, because there are so many women solopreneurs out there, right? And it's there, but there are very few that go from that, the 5-figure mark to the 6-figure mark, the 6 to 7. Why is it? Do you think the inhibitor is our confidence because we're not able to ask for more? Or is it because that we just feel, okay, I'm happy with this and I don't want to really, you know, I'm not that aggressive about my goals?
That is a really, it's a really interesting question because on the one hand, I think we as a society, like I have this sort of business that can become a $1 billion company. I would be crazy not to go for it. Mm-hmm. That said, you know, I meet plenty of women, you know, when I meet women who are starting like natural foods companies and, you know, real like passion driven businesses, they are not doing it because it's not turning into a $1 billion company, right? But they're doing it because they love it. They want to build something. I think we as a society need to stop saying everyone has to want to be the next Facebook. On the one hand, I don't want to criticize women for not wanting to grow it. On the other hand, look, what someone said to me once is, you know, this woman, as I was raising VC capital, she said, the thing that people feel like is that women run great companies, but they don't take enough risks to really, you know, grow them more exponentially. You know, that we are more risk averse. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. And frankly, I don't necessarily think risk aversion and like being smart and not just kind of going out gunslinging is really a bad thing, right? So it's a really tough question. I think what I would say to women is, you know, you do have to decide what you want out of your business. Do you want it to be lifestyle? You know, do you, you know, like I met a woman recently who's doing, she does, she's been a stay-at-home mom for a long time. And now she's building these, she's an artist and she does these really cool wedding signs that you can order, like custom reclaimed wood, and she sells them on Etsy. And she just does it on the side and she loves it. And now her kids are grown up and her son has actually come back and said, hey, Mom, I think I want to get involved with you and let's kind of take this business to the next level.
Nice.
You know, and now that's going to happen. And so but she didn't want that before, you know, now she's in a position to think about it. So I think you really just have to decide what you want. And then if what you want is to really grow it, then yeah, just don't be afraid to take some risks. Take some risks, have confidence, tell people what you're going to do, because you know what? It's not rocket science. It's just commitment and hard work. And women are no strangers to commitment and hard work, right?
Exactly. I love that. Go ahead, sorry.
Nope, I'm done.
Yeah. You know, Krista, you were at a very, I want to say very advantageous position, because you're looking at both sides. You're helping people, you're helping businesses raise money or, you know, helping them grow their business. And on the other side, you're growing your own business. So I think that just gives you so much valuable insights into both sides. And I want to touch upon your experiences in raising capital. Tell us what made you decide? How did you decide to say what phase of your business were you in when you said, okay, you know what, I'm ready to go out. I know this is going to be big. I'm ready to go out and get some capital. And how was it when you went out looking, pitching to venture capitalists? And tell us about your journey there.
Oh. It's been a long journey. So, and it's an interesting one. So my dad and I started this company with my dad, and he was actually, he was actually our CEO at first. And we went out right from the beginning to raise capital, which was a real mistake in my mind. Like if I had known, you know, then what I know now, I would have found a way to build the product in beta and invested more money. So we didn't really put cash into the company. We put our time, you know, we just agreed not to work and not to take salaries. And so we went out and started raising money. And I believe we were lucky because we raised $200,000 in a seed round with like a PowerPoint. I mean, it was really nothing. We had nothing. We did have a team. So we had like got four of us together. Mm-hmm. And what I learned was I learned how to pitch, and I learned how to pitch well. And I'd come out of a world where I did a lot of PowerPoints, a lot of presenting, and I just kept refining my story. And I was a good salesperson. You know, that was really what I did. Then we got a beta out. Then we went, to raise our first $1 million to say, okay, we have this beta platform, but now we need capital because our business requires a lot of things, credit, marketing, sales, you know, technology, like there are a lot of parts to it. It's not really a business that you can bootstrap per se, you know, whereas a lot of businesses are, and I wasn't a developer, right? I couldn't build it on my own. Although I'm pretty sure looking back, I probably could have taught myself to code. I built a beta in the time it took me to raise my first $1 million. and then we kind of went in market, and I'll be honest, we had $1 million. We thought, you know, it was all going to be smooth sailing from there, and it wasn't. It was really hard. We struggled to get our first customers. We struggled to figure out what was our niche in this market, because, you know, business lending, like there are a lot of people who do loans, you know, so it's kind of a scary thing. You're like, well, what do I do differently? And then in May, we started to get traction and the business has really taken off. And it was only as we started to hit about $1 million in revenue that we were like, okay, now we're 20 people. We have to go out and raise serious capital. And so I've just launched, I'm about 2-3 weeks into my first venture raise, which has been, very different to angel fundraising. Angel fundraising, you do a lot of pitches, you raise money like $50,000 at a time. It's a lot of one-on-ones, and VCs are just, yeah, they're looking for different things. They're asking different questions. They ask me like, what are my unit economics? Mm-hmm. You know, what exactly, when I say this business can scale, in what way, like what are the metrics? So for example, you look at something like customer acquisition cost, you know, how will customer acquisition cost scale over time? What are the things I'm going to do to make it scale, bring it down, amortize it over customers for a longer period? Like all of those things that you'll just say, oh, well, this will scale. They're like, well, show me some numbers that demonstrate that.
Right.
So I, you know, it's been a real team effort. You know, I have a lot of people behind me who smart people who kind of help. We build models where we learn new things every day and we get to understand our business better. And I don't know what's next. I mean, we're in the phase now where I've kind of had initial conversations with a lot of people. And now the next step is to understand. Some people have already said, hey, we're not interested. And then some people said, well, I want to understand a bit more. And you're kind of looking for people to give you like a formal, expression of interest that they would right. be interested in leading the round.
Absolutely. I think that's interesting. And like you said, right in the beginning, it's very rare for people to invest in an idea. And it seems like that's where you guys took off. I think a lot of people now are looking at, okay, what's your product? Let me see it. Are you able to get some revenue? And I think that's really was advantageous for you to be able to right off the bat get some funding for it. And definitely, I think I totally relate with your point about finding your niche, because that's where I started the podcast with one thing in my mind was to help people, educate women to know that, hey, there's so much out there. And what is it that y'all need to do to get funding or change your mindset? Or, you know, what are the skills you need to develop? And now more and more, I get so much feedback and they're like, oh my God, there's so much interesting stuff here. And I want everybody to listen to this. And can you like make it a bigger platform than just funding? I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, you know, let me figure this out first for myself, where, you know, what my niche is going to be in, because you just have to keep changing in your business. You have to listen to your feedback and just go, okay, this is what's working and this is what they need and how do I cater to them? So I think that's very interesting. So, but I guess you all have nailed it down now and you know that this is the future.
Yes. Yeah, no, it is great.
Let's talk a little bit about some financial metrics, Krista. I feel a lot of businesses, especially women-owned businesses, tend to not pay as much attention to analytics or metrics. And I think that's one of the, and I don't want to generalize that statement, but I think a lot of from the people that I've worked with or I've heard from, we tend to shy away from the metrics, if I can say that. And I want to talk about some of the things that maybe you think are imperative for us to keep in mind, which will help us grow our business and which will help us give that confidence and be in control.
Yeah, so I actually give a lot of credit to Jenny Hoff, who's our chief operating officer, and she came on board. She has tons of experience. She came on board in September of last year, and Jenny single-handedly like changed our organization by coming in and saying, Krista, let's start talking about metrics. Her first day, she walked in and she said, hey, what do you think our average contribution margin is per deal? And I said, huh, what's a contribution margin?
Right.
That was exactly my answer. Uh-huh. And that kicked off and we started to look at, you know, like so we know every Monday actually at our staff meeting, we have a list of KPIs by team. Mm-hmm. And every team runs through them and we track them week on week and we're actually evolving them all the time. And thinking about what do we need to be looking at to make better decisions. But it has been a huge transformation. And I have, as I internalize those metrics, when I sit with anyone fundraising, you know, I'm like, listen, you know, our contribution margin is X, our gross margin is X, our in-growth month-on-month customer, you know, revenue percentage is X. Like, and I can just rattle off KPIs because we talk about them all the time and you get comfortable. I'm trying to think, like, in terms of specific ones that we were tracking, so we were looking at our top line revenue, right? And we were saying, oh, great, we have month on month top line revenue is growing. I don't know, it was like 25% a month, which is awesome. So we're watching this grow. And then Jenny says, but hey, Krista, look at this. Like our growth in clients, like our growth in month on month clients is stagnant. So all the growth we're seeing in the revenue is actually coming from existing clients who are buying more but we're not getting better at onboarding new customers. Mm-hmm. Now that's a huge, like, and we, it was November. We were like, we have to do something because it's great. Our existing customers are growing, but there's a limit, right? A company can only grow so much in financing. Okay. So if we want to grow as a business, we have to get better at our sales process. And it led to us completely revamping how we do our sales, you know, how, like, changing the process, how we do our prospecting. And now, so we were averaging 2.5 clients a month. In March, we added 5 new customers. Nice. So it was like a really big shift.
You know, I really want to take a minute there. And I think that's really, really important for people to understand what you just said, because if you keep track of your metrics and your analytics, like you said, you can transform your business. It's, I think that's a really wonderful example you gave us. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. And I'm trying to think what else. We're still working out. I think in the early stages, it can sometimes be frustrating with metrics because you don't have a lot to work with. But the trick is really to just stick with it. Keep tracking them, and eventually those metrics will start to make more sense. You'll start to see trends. And the other thing I'll mention briefly is cohort analysis, which is a new thing that I learned about. A lot of VCs have been asking me. And a cohort analysis is when you say, I'm going to look at all the clients I added in May, and I'm going to chart their revenue month by month over time. And then I'm going to look at all the clients I added in June, and I'm going to chart their revenue month by month over time, and so on and so forth. So every month's clients are a cohort. And then you can assess how much revenue, like, does your revenue from the early customers grow over time? Does it decrease? Do new cohorts stay longer? Do they spend more quickly? And it allows you to start asking yourself questions like, what am I doing differently this quarter than what I did last quarter? Is it better? Is it worse? Am I getting, you know, results that I want? So starting to look at your customers in this concept of cohorts has been really eye-opening for me, for us as a team. And it's been something, it's something that's kind of, it's very trendy right now, I think, in metric analysis.
Very interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think that's really important. Krista, let's talk a little bit about skills that you think women entrepreneurs must have or can develop.
Gosh. Okay. So, I mean, we've always talked about confidence, but I'll tell you something that I have developed, and someone said it to me yesterday. So I have really embraced writing, writing both for my team and publicly. And it has been amazing. Like, I had this thing happen to me anyway. Basically, I was at this conference, and one of the VCs at the end of the day said, he said, you're very popular, because he, I think, had sort of seen me talking to a bunch of VCs. And he said, you know, you're very popular. And I smiled and I said, you know, yeah, well, that's because I have this hot new platform and everyone, you know, everyone's talked to me. It's awesome. And he said, it's because you're the pretty one. And it really stung me, right? And I'm actually tell that story again on our, we're doing our podcast this afternoon. It really stung me, but I'll be honest with you. Like, I wrote yesterday on the plane, I wrote this editorial kind of outlining the story, telling the story, and then talking about how it impacted me, and we're going to publish it. And that helps me deal with things like that in a way that is very different to if I didn't write all the time. So writing has given me clarity of thought, and it helps me process things that are stressful. So that's been a big skill. And then the other one is just speaking, you know, speaking and presenting, learning to present both my business, but also talk about things like angel, you know, I'm giving a talk on angel funding on Saturday, like being able to get in front of an audience and talk compellingly. It both gives me a lot of confidence, because there's kind of nothing quite like standing in front of a room full of people who are hanging, like, who are there to listen to you. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a huge, it gives you a lot of confidence, and it just is great training, I think, for CEOs to be up in front of people talking. So I think those are the two, like, writing and speaking are two things that I really encourage people to do.
So what was your instant reaction
you know, my instant reaction was I just laughed it off and walked away. And you think to yourself, you know, what, I wish I'd just like given him the face.
Right.
But you know, you don't. And so in my article, I'll send you a copy of it when it's done, but
please,
but in the article, I'm going to write the last line of my article says that revenge is a dish best served at IPO.
Absolutely. And I wish to see that one day. Definitely.
Yeah. So
that's wonderful. You know, and it's, I don't know, you know, why people stereotype things or, you know, people. And I think it's very important to dispel those preconceived notions.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're doing a great job, Krista. So definitely. It's beauty and brains together. So, and he needs to know that.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I know. Awesome. So, Krista, if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice about funding or money, what would it be?
Oh, man. One piece of advice. I really encourage people to be organized about it. You know, there are a lot of resources. I have a really good pitch deck. I have an executive summary. My financials are in order. And I have a really good diligence room, you know, with all of my documentation. And I have found that, and women are great at being organized about it. And fundraising is the presentation I'm giving on Saturday is the theme is, you know, fundraising is a repeatable process. It is not rocket science. And if you show investors that you're organized and you give them the documentation they're expecting and it's well written and well put together, that sets you apart from 90% of entrepreneurs, men and women. So, and I believe it shows a lot of respect for your investors and that is a critical thing because angels, VCs, everyone has a lot of options and you want to set yourself at the top of the pack. And I think, you know, you do that by just all your ducks are in a row. You're really organized and, you know, we can do a whole show on sort of what's involved in that. But, that's really my one piece of advice.
Awesome. Thank you. So are you ready for a lightning round?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. And this is where we need to get to. We want to get to know you more intimately. Okay. So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
Well, so this has changed, but I was at LendIt and they gave an award for the innovator of the year in online lending. And they gave it to Mike at SoFi. And I got to tell you, I would love to win that award.
Nice. Awesome. And what is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, Grey's Anatomy. And like,
oh, yes.
Like Nashville, like just dramas.
Yes. And what are you currently reading?
I'm actually reading right now Predictable Revenue, which is all about kind of changing your sales process around, which I really like.
Nice. And what is your one productivity hack? And we'll take two if you have.
I have a virtual assistant and she's based out of Costa Rica and she saves my life all the time. And it's just been it's been worth the money every step of the way to have someone who schedules meetings, keeps me on top of my email, reminds me of things like that makes me so much more productive.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And what is your personal motto?
Oh, this changes too. But someone said this to me the other day, and I think this is going to be my new personal motto. It said, there's no traffic on the extra mile.
Ooh.
I know.
That's interesting. I've never heard that before. I like it.
Me too. I think it might be our new like company motto. Like,
nice. Nice. That's nice. What would you do different if you were given another chance?
I mean, like I said before, I would do whatever I could to get product out and get customers before I raised money. Whatever it took to do that, it's infinitely easier to raise money when you have some traction in customers.
Awesome. And what is the best way to reach you, Krista?
Look, I'm on Twitter a lot. I love Twitter. So it's at uh, K-R-I-S-A MTL. It stands for short for Krista Montreal, because that's where I'm from. And you know, you can email me, kmorgan@p2bi.com, LinkedIn. I really like to chat to other women entrepreneurs. I'm busy, but I will always get back to people, and try to help where I can.
Very nice. Thank you so much, Krista, for coming on our show and for taking time out twice for us. I really appreciate it. And I think you're going great. You have so much energy and so much positivity. And we really, I'm looking forward to that IPO one day soon.
Me too.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.